Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning can be found in Psalm 113. Psalm 113, and let us sing first from Psalter 372. Come, all ye servants of the Lord, lift up your voice with one accord, Jehovah's name to bless, ye and that are standing night by night within the house of his delight. His glorious name confess. 1 and 2 of Psalter 372.
Congregation, let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. From Scripture, Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord.
Congregation, we have a letter to read to you from the curatorium. Dear brothers of the consistory and members of the congregation, it is with great gladness that we write to you concerning the outcome of our curatorium meeting of May 14, 2014. It has pleased the Lord to grant us freedom to accept two more men to begin studies in our theological school for the regular ministry, namely Mr. G. Brunn and Mr. J. J. Whitfoot, Jr. Student Brunn's name will not be completely unknown to many of us, as he has served for a number of years on our mission field in Bolivia as a church worker. He is 52 years old, has 7 children, and since returning from Bolivia has served as deacon and elder in our congregation of Fort McLeod, as well as on the mission board. A student Whitfoot is from our congregation in Lansing, Illinois, where he has served as elder since the recent institution of the congregation. He is 39 years old and has 7 children. We were also gladdened with the examination of student Maljars, who was promoted to his second year of studies. The Lord has brought him and his family through every difficulty in this past year, and we hope that the Lord may grant him some rest in the coming months, even though he will study the Spanish language during this time. Truly, we may say, the Lord hath done great things for us, and whereof we are glad. May it humble us deeply, that despite our ever-increasing unworthiness, he still remembers us as a denomination. As king of his church, he yet reveals his power in the hearts of men to overcome all their resistance and make them willing to follow him in his service. May he also now grant following grace to their families, whose lives will be greatly affected. May much prayer ascend to the same King of the Church, that he may further provide for the instructors, the students, and their families, as well as for the increasing financial needs of our theological school and the vacant offices in the congregations the new students leave behind, especially in the little congregation in Lansing, that altogether our eyes may be upon the greater Zerubbabel, for if he has laid the foundation, his hands shall also finish it. Zechariah 4, verse 9. On behalf of the Curatorium, Reverend J. Den Hoot, President, and myself as clerk. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. DePuter, who is recovering in the Lethbridge Hospital, Mary Lynn Janssen, who is recovering at home. Also, the sister of Mrs. Dina Niels has passed away this past week in Chilliwack. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, that we may be so glad with all thy doings, and that thou still showest that thou hast a favor unto us as a denomination, for we can give nothing, and yet thou showest thy face, and thou still stretchest forth thy hand over us and over our children. Oh, that our hearts may be so humbled under all thy great goodness, and that we may desire never to sin again against thee. Oh, that we would desire, and that we may walk in a new, in a holy life, and that we may walk uprightly according to all thy commandments and statutes, and that our hearts may go out unto thee, who still shows that thou wilt provide for thy church, and for us and for our children. For thou knowest that the needs are so very great, the harvest that is white and ready to harvest. But thou knowest that the laborers are few. O Lord, wilt thou humble us, and wilt thou cause thy name to be glorified in this way? Remember our brother, and also the other brother who has been accepted into the theological school. Lord, thou knowest all that lives in their hearts. Thou knowest the mountains that are before them. Thou knowest the impossibility from their own sight. Oh, we cannot do it from our side, but wilt thou cause them always to be able to go back again unto that word that thou hast spoken unto them. For then they have not run of their own accord, but against all the impossibilities, thou still didst say they must go forward. Lord, that thou may be then on their right and on their left hand. Oh, give them a little quietness. Give them to gather a little rest under all of thy goodness and thy leadings. And may thou take them from step to step and lead them by thy hand. Wilt thou instruct us all from above who must bring thy word of truth? Oh, that we may learn more and more of what it is to bring that word, that we may come lower and lower in ourselves, that thy name may be more and more glorified. We ask thee also for their wives and for their children. Lord, thou knowest all that it is for them, for so many things suddenly will change in their life. And then they also will need that grace to follow thee and to say, Lord, thy will be done. Oh, that thou may be on their right and on their left hand. And oh, that they may also experience something of the goodness of the Lord. That they may be able also to joy in thy salvation. Do remember all thy servants. Thou knowest where they are. Thou knowest everything that comes against thy work. Satan is busy. Oh, that thou may uphold and strengthen them, and that thy word may sink down deep into our hearts, that we may know how to bring it forth in the midst of our flocks and our congregations here in North America, but also in the Netherlands and all over the world, and those also upon the mission fields. Wilt thou give thy kingdom to come amongst Jew and Gentile, that thou may look upon each and every one of us? For thou knowest our needs then also as a congregation. Then we will lose also this brother in the service of this our flock. Lord, that thou may provide for us also in this matter, which thou alone art able to do. And wilt thou cause that many may be converted unto thee, that thou may raise up young men also in our midst, that the fear of the Lord may not be strange unto them, that they may be enabled to serve also in the offices within thy church, and as fathers in their households, as teachers in our school, Lord, that thou may remember us in thy mercy, and work mightily by thy Spirit. Wilt thou look upon each and every one of us? We have a soul, and we go to a great eternity. Oh, convert us unto thee, Lord. And then we need it for the first time, and we need it by renewal. Grant then in this day the powerful, the irresistible operation of thy Holy Spirit, to go before thy word, and to go from heart to heart and from pew to pew, to stop a sinner in his way, and to turn him about again, to take him from the service of this world of sin and of Satan, and to turn him unto the true and the living God. To draw him by that great and irresistible power of thy Spirit, and that he may see all the vanity that he serves here below, and that he may taste something of the preciousness of that substance that is in heaven, that he could no longer continue on in that way that we are born. But that we may have to leave the paths of sin, and that we may be brought to walk through that straight gate upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Oh, that thou would take young and old by heart and by hand. And that is not a work of man. And that is not what thy servants can perform. And that is what no man's heart can be convinced unto. But Lord, that is the work of thee. And that men may believe in him whom thou hast sent. Oh, remember us then all together. Remember the afflicted and the sick ones. Her that is in the hospital. Wilt thou make all things well, for thou knowest the needs of her body, which are many. Wilt thou give strength, wilt thou give recovery. And wilt thou help the physicians and all that care for her. The child also in her home. Wilt thou heal her, Lord. Raise her up again that she may go once again to school. And that thou may remember her for the need of body and of soul together. That it may be a calling that is sanctified to her young heart. Strengthen the parents in this way. Oh, give them a place also upon their knees. Where they could not do without thee. In all the ways wherein thou dost lead them here below. And Lord, that thou may remember those that mourn. Her also that has lost a sister in the week gone by. And also others that have lost their loved ones. A father. Lord, that thou may supply for all those that mourn. And wilt thou give when these callings are coming also unto us, that our hearts and minds may not push away thy warnings, but that we may take heed, that we may learn to die before that we have to die. Wilt thou remember then each and every one, also those that were married, in the days gone by, Lord, thou knowest where they are also. Could it please thee to supply for them in the unknown future? For many are the consequences of our sin, and that also have to be experienced in married life, that they may feel also thy presence and thy nearness in this union. And could it please thee to bless them from above? Remember the parents and all that love them. Wilt thou look upon thy servant that may be in Calgary in this day? Wilt thou be on his right and on his left hand? Our brother also in our sister congregation here in Alberta. Also all thy servants, O Lord, help them. Be with us also in this morning hour. O feed thy people. Lord, thou hast said unto thy servant, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. And Lord, thou knowest how insufficient that we are to these things. Oh, then it is a work that is too great for our human shoulders. But could it please thee to guide our mouth and to give unto us what is necessary in the bringing of thy word, all that thy spirit may be felt, may be experienced, that thy word may be with power, and that there may be food in thy house for those that are hungry and thirsty. That there may be a word of warning to those who go in the wrong way. That there may be a word of convincing for those who are careless. A word of drawing of that heart that is seeking the ways of sin. And that all together, and that there may not be left a hoof behind. As we are traveling upon our journey to eternity, thou broughtest them all out of Egypt, and thou gavest them to pass through the sea. They glorify thy name.
Oh, glorify thy name this day and give regeneration, thou sayest, and that we must be born again. Lord, that is not our work, that is thy work. And thou givest thy word still to be preached. Help us, strengthen us in our weak body. Could it please thee to give us what is necessary to do all our work again? Oh, give us following grace also in all thy ways. And may it be a little testimony in the midst of this our flock, and that this is the place that thou hast sent us. And when thy Spirit's work shall be experienced, and when a man shall have to smite upon his breast and to say, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wilt thou help us then, forgiving and taking away all of our many sins? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 111, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. I waited for the Lord Most High, and He inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock He set my feet and steadfast made my way. We announced at the Picture Butte Seniors' Morning, that is not Fort McLeod, but the seniors' morning in Picture Butte, is changed from the 28th of May to a week earlier, that is on Wednesday, May 21. The last collection today is for the Canadian Lord's Day Association, 111, 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour you can find in that portion of God's word which was read to you, Psalm 113, and thereof the first verse, Psalm 113, the first verse, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. So far, the words of our text. A blessed admonition to the servants of the Lord. First, to and from whom this admonition comes. And second, in what this admonition consists. The blessed admonition to the servants of the Lord. First, to and from whom this admonition comes, and second, in what this admonition consists. O ye servants of the Lord. Congregation, a servant, our text speaks about. What is a servant? Our children will know it. A servant. A servant is one who serves, that is, that he is not doing his own will, but that he is doing the will of another. He is not serving his own purposes. He is not looking for the ends of his own mind and heart, no. He is looking for the ends and the purposes of another man, who? That is his master, that is his Lord. We read here, O ye servants of the Lord. Thus, every servant has a Lord, that is the one that servant is serving. But here, that word Lord, that is actually not just over against that word servant, as servant and master are over against one another, as servant and Lord are over against one another. But there is actually much more. Because here that word Lord, that is not in lowercase, but that is in capital letters. And our children will know what it means. You say that is the very special name of God. That is the name Jehovah. That is the name of that self-existing being. That is the name of that triune God. That is the name of the covenant God of Israel. That is that name of him who says, I am that I am. O ye servants of the Lord, O who are then the servants of the Lord? You say they are the ministers of the Lord. That is right. That is right. They are they who have their whole lives dedicated unto the Lord in a public way. We can read of that in the Old Testament. How that the Levites, the priests, they were the servants of the Lord. And then they had not a ministry here below for the things of the world, but that their whole life that was dedicated, their end, their purpose, that was to serve the Lord. And then in the New Testament, of course, then we have the apostles in a special way. But then also the ministers of the word. And thus, we may have a very special week that is lying behind us. And then, of course, very special also for us as a congregation, when also our brother in our midst may be called unto that service of the Lord. And when two may enter into our theological school, young people, Oh, you must not diminish the blessing that the Lord has given unto us. Oh, that is not a blessing that is to be found in any man. No. But it is a blessing that comes from the Lord, because we cannot give this. Oh, we can try to ask the Lord. We can try to beg the Lord. But we cannot give this. There is no man. The Lord alone can give this unto us. Oh, now to find a place before Him. To acknowledge Him for His deeds. That is a calling. Oh, that is actually the highest calling that a man can receive in this world. That he is going forth in that service of the Lord. No, that is not the service of a man. Then he is a servant, but he is not the servant of a man. But he is a servant of the Lord. That means that he must seek the will of the Lord. He must seek to know the mind of the Lord. And he must follow, not in the way that man desires, and not to bring a word that man desires, but to bring that unadulterated truth of that holy word of God. Oh, ye servants of the Lord. But congregation, then it is not only the ministers, because actually, who are now the servants of the Lord, they are also actually the people of the Lord. Each and every one of God's children, and they are one of the servants of the Lord. When it is right, then they have a new master. This psalm, that is the first of what the Jews call the Hallel. That is Psalms 113 to Psalm 118. And the Jews, they sing these six psalms at the celebration, the commemoration of the Passover. That is, that they are connecting these psalms to the deliverance of the children of Israel out of that land of Egypt. Whose servants were they, boys and girls? Oh, you say they were the servants. They were the slaves of Pharaoh. They did not do their own will. No, they had to do the will of Pharaoh. They had to build treasure cities for Pharaoh. But now the Lord has brought them out. Out of the land of Egypt, and that makes them what? Oh, that makes them in a special way, not servants of man, but in a special way now, servants of the Lord. Why? Because of their deliverance. How is it with you? Congregation, are you also a servant of the Lord? Young people, are you a servant of the Lord? That is, do you still serve the world? Do you still serve sin? Or has the Lord now delivered you from that enemy? And has the Lord made you into a servant of the Lord, that you may serve with all your heart and your might and your strength, Jehovah, that most high God? Oh, ye servants of the Lord. Who is saying that? We don't know who wrote that psalm, but it is the Lord who has written that psalm. And now the Lord gives instruction, the Lord gives direction. Unto whom? Unto his servants, the servants of the Lord, his people, his ministers. And he says to them what their calling is. Oh, it is a calling. That means that it is actually the whole purpose of their life. It is the end. That is the summation. Everything that they are doing in their life that needs to be directed to that one sum of their life. the one purpose of their life. And what do we read? That purpose is, it is praise. Praise. We read that three times. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, what does that mean to praise? That means actually to boast. Oh, to boast. You don't do that, do you, boys and girls? You don't boast of yourself, do you? That we would never speak of our own glory. Because Solomon, he says, to speak of your own glory, that is no glory. He says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. But what do we read here? Praise ye the Lord. And that word praise means to boast of him. That means actually to show him. That word that has to do with shining like a lightning bolt. That is making everything so bright in one moment that it is displaying it to open view. That is now what that word praise means. And the Lord says that is now the calling, that is now the end, that is now the sum of the life of his servants, his ministers, his people, that is to lift him up, to lift up. That name of Jehovah, that name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, to speak of him, to speak of him in the world, in the families. Oh, that psalmist, we don't know who he is, but we can feel what is going on in his heart. What is his heart? Oh, his heart that has grown, his heart that is enlarged, that heart that is, we would say, that is swollen. It has a desire, and that desire that is burning in his heart. Oh, then he has a desire that burning in his heart would live in other people's hearts. Oh, he wished that desire would live in the heart of every single person in the whole world. Do you know such a desire? Oh, do you know such a swelling? Do you know such an enlargement of your heart? So that everything that you would say, well, that it is not enough to praise that name of the Lord. He says, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Oh, from this moment. Let that name be blessed. Let all men speak of that name as blessed. From this moment and on, oh, let it happen from generation to generation. Let it happen from age to age. Let our children do it, our seed. Oh, let their children also speak about that name of the Lord. Let it happen in the world. Let it happen in the time. And let it continue to happen. Blessed be that name. Oh, let it be blessed to all eternity. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Oh, what does he say? From the rising of the sun. Oh, when you are rising up in the morning. Oh, and that his loving kindness may be upon our lips. And when we are going to bed in the night, that the faithfulness of the Lord may be once again upon our lips. Oh, let it be from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. Let it be from the east unto the west, from the north unto the south. Let it be every nation in this world that may praise that name of the Lord. Oh, do we know? But do we know now of that swelling, that enlargement of the heart that we can read of in the heart of this psalmist? Oh, then it can be that we say, well, I do not dare to say that I know such an enlargement. Do you know what we read in the Word of God? The psalmist, he did not dare say that either. He did not dare to place himself among God's children. And yet, within his heart was a cry. In his heart was a desire. And that cry was, "Oh, remember me, O Lord, with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, that I may also see the good of thy chosen, that I may also rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may also glory with thine inheritance thus." Oh, to look upon those servants of the Lord, the children, the people of the Lord, and then to desire that same enlargement of heart would live, would burn, would swell within my own heart. Where does it come from? Is that something that we can give to one another, that a man, he may say, "Praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord," and then other men may feel that same enlargement of heart? Is that something that can be done with an admonishment? Is that something that the natural heart that we are born with by nature is capable of with a little religion? With a little singing? Oh, congregation, only look inside. Only let your own conscience answer, then you will say, "Oh, it is just the opposite." And then I look upon this world, young people, then I see, "Oh, beautiful car," then my heart that is enlarged. Then there is desire. Or a beautiful home. Our heart is not going out after what the psalmist is going out after. We had a funeral here just a little while ago, and then we may speak about that word of the Apostle Paul, "Set thine affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Set your affection. And then we have said there, young people, we will say it again because you were not all there. We have said there this. Did you ever try to set your affection on things above? You know what affection is. Because you also have affection. Children, you love. You love your mother. You love your father, your sisters, your brothers. And now, what are you able to do with your affections? Can you set them on something that they are not on? Can you take them off something that they are set upon? When we will, as parents, young people, when we will choose for you a young man or choose for you a young woman, we say, "This will be your wife, this will be your husband, and I want you now to set your affection on her. Set your affection, I want you to love her. Every time you think about her, I want your heart to be enlarged. I want your heart to swell." And what will you say? You will say, "Mother, father, it is not possible." No, it doesn't work like that. And now the apostle, he says, "Set your affection on things above." Oh, do you feel something of the impossibility to do what the apostle says? You say, "I cannot take my affections from the things that are here below, because my heart that is of the earth, it is earthy, it is carnal, it is sensual, it is devilish." And then to set my love, to set my affection on things above. And now now in the psalm we read, praise the name of the Lord. Oh, but then we feel something. We feel what? We feel what we have done in paradise because Satan said to Adam, forsake the Lord. Oh, forsake his service. You do not want to serve him. You do not want to be his servant. No, be free. Be your own Lord. Be your own master. You can do your own will. You can say what is right. You can say what is wrong. You do not have to listen to those Ten Commandments. No, you will be perfectly free. And so Adam has chosen, and so we are choosing. Day after day and hour after hour, with our affections set on all the things that are here below. And now the psalmist says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise that name of the Lord. And there is nothing greater we can do. There is no higher work. There is no higher calling. That is the work of the angels in heaven. That is the work of saints in glory. That they may magnify, that they may glorify day by day that name of the Lord. Oh, that is the highest purpose of Jehovah. That is the glory of his own name. That is why the intercession of Moses that was so powerful with the Lord. He says, Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Oh, that is the Lord's highest purpose, to glorify that name. And therefore, that supplication of Moses that had to have a place with the Lord. That is the purpose of our creation. Did you ever feel it? Oh, how that we were created to magnify, to glorify that name of the Lord. But now we have fallen so deeply that we are looking only for the praise of our own name. Robbers, robbers of the honor, robbers of the glory of the Lord. But congregation, he is going to receive it again. He is going to receive it again. That is what we read here. We can hear it already. That is living in the heart of this psalmist. He says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, he is going to receive it again. But how is he going to receive it? That is our second thought. How is he now going to get that praise? Because it doesn't live here. And you can admonish me. But congregation, all the admonishment in the world that cannot change this evil and this wretched heart that is cleaving to everything that is here below. Do you know what David said? He says, Lord, quicken me. Quicken me according to thy word. Quicken me according to thy loving kindness. Why? Oh, because he experienced something. Oh, he experienced something. There is a people, they say, if only I could do it. Oh, if only I could even for one moment of my miserable life here below. Oh, if I could for one moment magnify and glorify that name of my Maker again. What is in that? It is, congregation, a complaint. It is a living complaint. God's children, they are complainers. Not about the Lord. Yes, sometimes about the Lord too. But when it is right, it is not about the Lord. No, but they have to complain about themselves. Oh, it is a complaint. And what is living in that complaint? Oh, there are two things living in it. First, there is a desire. We hear that. And in the second place, we hear of an impossibility. Oh, first the desire. Oh, that desire. that I may magnify that name of the Lord. Where does not that now that desire come from? You say it does not live in us, and yet it is living in this man. We hear it in this psalm. Where does that come from? Do you know where that comes from, boys and girls? That comes from a new birth. That is what the Lord Jesus said. He says, ye must be born again, because there is no affection for the Lord unless a man is born again. That is now that moment that the Lord is taking those affections of a man, and he is setting those affections on things above. Do you know what the Lord calls it? He calls it the first love. Oh, the first love of his people. They don't know so much, no. Oh, they are so ignorant. But they have love. Oh, that love is living in their heart. How is that experienced in their heart? We ask you, how was it this morning? Oh, was it ever on Sunday morning that you may rise up in the morning off of your bed and say to yourself, it is the Sabbath day. Oh, I may go to the house of the Lord. Oh, and that is the love that is living in the heart of that people. In that first love, and when they may go with joy, and with that multitude unto that house of the Lord, with the voice of joy and of praise. Oh, then their heart that is so going out unto the Lord. And then they say, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I love the Lord, and the fount of life and grace. Oh, do you know what they say then? Then they sit there in the church. Oh, they say, minister. Oh, praise, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise that name of the Lord. Oh, lift it up high. Oh, do as is what is living in my heart, and that I may hear from the housetops what is going on in the inner chamber. Oh, maybe they even want to do it more sometimes, boys and girls. Maybe even the girls. They say, oh, if I could now stand there, if I could now speak, oh, then I would like to say what is living in my heart. Oh, I would like to sing it forth in the midst of all the people of the Lord. Oh, congregation, that desire, praise ye the name of the Lord. But now there is something else. Do you know what we read in God's word? David, he says, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong by thy favor. And then, thou hidest thy face. I was troubled. What is now experienced in the life of the people that have that love, that desire, that desire planted in their hearts? Do you know it is lived out in their life in the furtherance of the time? That is the impossibility. Oh, that they have to say that I am not able, as my heart desires to lift up that name of the Lord, then they have to learn something, how wretched and how miserable that they are. Then they have to learn something about how deeply they have fallen. Then they have to experience day by day that they are a son, that they are a daughter of Adam. And oh, how they wish that they could do as that new life desires. Oh, that they could sing, and that they could praise rightly that name of the Lord. But now to experience the impossibility, how dead, how miserable, how wretched, just like the heathen that are living in the midst of this world, that there is no power within me that may give me to do that desire of my heart. Oh, that I feel that I am so without hope, without God in the world. Oh, did you hear the birds singing this morning? When they open the window, then sometimes they are so jealous of those birds that are able to sing to the honor and to the glory of God, that they have to say, Lord, oh, how wretched, oh, how miserable a man, a woman, a boy, a girl am I, that I cannot even do as the animals, that I cannot do as those trees that are always pointing up unto the honor and to the glory of the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you know what the Lord is going to do? He is going to teach his people how to praise him. He is going to teach his people how to magnify that name of Jehovah, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He is going to teach his people how to sing. There's a lot of singing in the world, young people. What are the songs you sing? You sing those songs that you can hear on the radio, maybe. Or I hope that you are not involved with those worldly songs. There are much better songs. They are songs that may sing of the Lord. And there is also a much singing of those songs in this world, even in this land, and we may be thankful for that. I was thinking one time, we were shopping somewhere, and then we heard over the speakers, then we heard some hymn, and I thought, you know, it is mixed with all this worldly things, but still, what a wonder it is, because it could have been, and it could be soon coming, that there are Muslim songs coming over those loudspeakers, or atheistic songs that want nothing to do, and yet still this song may be heard. Oh, there are still choirs, they can be so beautiful, but congregation, how much also can be missing in them. Why? Because our religion does not teach us how to sing. No, a choir director cannot teach us how to sing. Who alone can teach us how to sing? That is the Spirit of the Lord. That is the Holy Ghost. And Jehovah is going to be praised. He is going to be praised in all his attributes, in all his works, in all the places of his dominion. He is going to receive the highest honor and the highest glory that is already being done, that is being done by the angels in heaven, that is being done by the cherubim, by the seraphim that are round about the throne of God. And yet, Boston says that is not the highest glory. Can you imagine that? You would say that would be beautiful to hear. How that those angels are singing. And yet Boston says that that is not the highest glory. What does he say? He says, the song of the redeemed that will be one pitch higher than the song of the angels. The song of the redeemed. The fall. was not unknown to God from the foundation of the world. And not only was it not unknown, but it was decreed for a purpose. It is our fault. It is our sin. It is our guilt. But it is going to end in a song that is higher than the song of the angels. And that is what our psalmist is singing about. Say, how can you prove that? Will you go with me for a moment? A moment before we sing yet, boys and girls. Go with me for a moment. Let us read it in this song. Listen. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? Our psalmist speaks about something that the angels have never experienced. Our psalmist speaks about something that only a fallen man has ever experienced. Oh, here we read something of the incomprehensible condescension of the Lord. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Who is like unto him who dwells in glory? Who is like unto him, the great creator, the great provider for everything that is in this world? Oh, there is none so great, there is none so majestic, there is none so glorious, who humbleth himself, who condescends, who despite his greatness, despite his glory, he sets himself, as it were, in a low place. And how does he do it? He says, to behold, only to look, only to see. What does David say? That was such a glorious wonder to him. He says, the Lord thinketh upon me. He only thinketh upon me. Oh, he says here, to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. No, not the great highest heavens, but the lowest heavens, the heavens that belong unto the earth. And then it is that earth, not that was made before the fall, but that earth as it is fallen, that earth that is steeped in sin, in iniquity, in transgression, in rebellion, in evil, loathsome before the Lord. And the Lord, in that high, majestic, and glorious place, oh, still to think upon it, oh, still to behold, still to look, to condescend indeed. And the angels, they may stand beside and they may sing something of their condescension when that babe that is lying there in that manger. And then the heavens may open and then we may hear them singing glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. Oh, so the psalmist, he sings about that great, that high, that lofty one who condescends to dwell even with the contrite in heart. What does he say? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. No. Then it does not say He raiseth a man, and he makes him a prince. That is common. That is what we do in this world. But what does it say? He raiseth the poor. That is a wonder, if we know what a poor man is. What does Solomon say about a poor man? He says the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Why? Because he cannot get out of it. A truly poor man is unable to lift himself out of that poverty. He needs someone else. He raiseth the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, a truly needy. He cannot help himself. But the Lord, that Most High God, looking upon that sin-cursed earth and raising that poor man out of the dust and lifting that needy man off of that dunghill to set him with princes, all this is what is going to end in the glory, the great glory and praise of that name of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord said to Abraham, that your seed shall go down into the land of Egypt. They shall dwell there. They shall serve that nation for 400 years. They shall be afflicted in that land. Why? Because I will teach them to sing. And they shall sing. They shall sing on the other side of that sea like no angel has ever sung in heaven, knowing that place from which that people have been delivered. And so the psalmist, he says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise that name of the Lord. Why? Oh, what does he say? He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Oh, he does not make a woman to keep house. That is common. We marry, then we have children. But now that woman who is married, and then the time goes on and on and on, and slowly, broken down, she can have no children. And then that realization and the living it out in her life, barren, barren, unfruitful. That is the life of that people. They thought in that first love that they would praise that name of the Lord. But now in the experience to live it out, unfruitful, barren, I cannot do it. O congregation, that is a mocked people with a Hannah of old. But that is a people who are going to sing. Oh, they are going to sing, praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise that name of the Lord. That is that people. They will say, oh, minister, he raiseth the poor out of the dust. He lifteth the needy from the dunghill. And he makes him to sit with princes. He makes that barren woman to keep house. And he makes that barren woman to be a joyful mother of children. Oh, minister, oh, praise, open your mouth. Let the high praises of God be in your lips. Let us sing. Psalter 78. Lord, I will praise thy name, for thou hast set me free, nor suffered foes to claim a triumph over me. Oh, Lord, my God, to thee I cry. And thou hast health and strength supplied. And thou hast health and strength supplied. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 78. congregation, John writes about a vision that he had seen. And he says that he saw a lamb standing upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And he heard a voice from heaven, the voice of many waters, and as of a great thunder. And he heard the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. And he says that they sung a new song before the throne, before the four beasts, and before the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth. It is the song of Moses and the Lamb. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth. That is that song that is giving the highest possible praise to the name of Jehovah, sung by the servants of Jehovah. And that will be sung. That will be sung to all eternity, forever and forever. But where will it begin? Children, what do you think? I ask you, when will God's children begin to sing it? You say, when they die. Then they shall begin to sing. And we say, no, this time you are wrong. No, that song that is begun here in the world. Because that is the song that is being sung here by the psalmist. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise that name of the Lord. And if we have never begun to sing that song here upon the earth, then we should not expect, when we go through that last Jordan, when we go over that death, that we will ever sing that song in eternity. God's people do not do a strange work in glory. We read of those who sang. They sang, Hosanna, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. How many of them didn't cry out soon after, crucify him, crucify him? How is that? Can God's children fall away? No. They never did sing the praises of Jehovah. And why? Because they had never come in the pit. Because they have never known a wonder in their life. Young people, listen to me for a moment. I will tell you something. Because you will hear much in your life if the Lord spares you. And also concerning that name of the Lord, and there is a true and a false religion in the world. And there is so much what seems, what pretends to lift up that name of the Lord. What is necessary to lift up that name of the Lord? If you would say that David was a great man, then we will not question what you say. But there was a people who sang. They sang about David in the dances. How did they come to sing that song? If we will come to sing that song, then we must know the power of that enemy. They knew how strong that Goliath was. They knew, they felt they could not deliver themselves from that enemy. They were an army, they were a people, they were all as dead men. It was lost for them. And when David appeared in the power of the Spirit of the Lord, oh, then that people, they may learn to sing those praises of the Lord. You hear God's servants, and they speak maybe you say too much. They speak about that wretchedness, that misery of man. You say, why do they need to do that? Why do they need to do that? If they do not do that, they cannot reach the highest pitch of that song of the redeemed. The highest they can ever come would be to the pitch of the song of the angels. When that covenant of works had been kept by God's people, they would have sung the song of the angels. But the Lord would not have received His highest glory. David says he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. How? Oh, he says he brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings. Oh, that is how that new song is put into the mouth of David. That rich young ruler was a good man. But he never learned to sing this song. Not with all his religion. And so religious man, he is going to his own destruction. But now there is a people. There is a people in the congregations. They are saying, minister, oh, lift up that name. Tell now something. How great that name is, that name of the Lord, that name of Jehovah. Tell now something how it is going in the life of that people and why that heart of that people is so lifted up. Oh, tell how it goes, even as it was in the life of Ruth. Oh, when that Boaz spoke unto her, and then it was such a wonder that he even had words to speak unto her. And why the wonder? She says, why have I found grace in thine eyes, seeing I am a stranger? That is where she came from. That was Moab. Oh, she could never be, with all her desire, truly one of the people of the Lord. And so that wonder is being worked out in the life of God's children. And the Lord is teaching that people how to sing a Mephibosheth, expecting to die. Oh, that sentence of condemnation lying there before David. And then to hear, he shall eat bread at my table continually. Oh, is it any wonder that Mephibosheth, he says, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Tell it, servants of the Lord. O speak of that name. Tell of that wonder. Tell of that pit. O say what Paul says. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is the wonder. Oh, speak of it, people of the Lord. Speak of it. Begin with that law, that there may be way made for that gospel. Oh, speak of Adam and the corruption and that depth of that fall. Oh, say how wretched that a man has become, that you may also speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to take it all away. Oh, that we may see from how great a depth that he has condescended to deliver his people. Oh, speak of it, servants of the Lord. Tell of it. Oh, tell how it is necessary not only once. Tell how it is necessary time and time again. Why? Because of the rebellion that is living in the heart of God's children. That he has to bring them into that wilderness. That he has to bring their heart down with sorrow. And that he has to bring them to their wits' end before they will cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he may deliver them from all their distresses. And that they may sing the glory of the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Tell it, servants of the Lord. Oh, speak of it, how God's children, they can wander so far away. And they can leave the paths of the Lord, leave him days without number. Oh, they can seek their refuge even with the king of the Philistines. Oh, to bring themselves in that place that they cannot deliver themselves from. And then to say, this man cried, and the Lord heard and delivered him out of all his troubles. And then to be able to sing and to say to everyone, oh, taste and see, and that the Lord is good. Oh, tell it, servants of the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Tell. Oh, how that we have rebelled and the Lord had to bring us into that wilderness. How that the Lord has promised to bring us back again. Behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. And I will speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there. Oh, she shall sing there as in the days of her youth. And is in the day that I brought her up out of the land of Egypt. Oh, how is it, people of the Lord? Oh, how is it living in your heart? Oh, David, he thought he would never sing again. And when he had sinned against the Lord, and then he said, make me, O Lord, to hear the voice of joy and gladness. But he did sing. Oh, he did sing again. Oh, his soul that sang deeper and deeper. And that song that went a pitch higher and higher unto the Lord. The people in Babylon, oh, what have they said? They were mocked. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. They said, how shall we sing the song of the Lord in a strange land?
Oh, but there came a day that that song that rang out again so that the earth shook, the earth trembled, and that people, they may sing. Oh, congregation, did the Lord ever teach you how to sing? Oh, outwardly, he says two things. We say it time and again. Oh, that he says, sing with a joyful sound. And that is not as the joy of this world, no. But it means a loud sound. He says, sing it out. He says, sing with a solemn sound that is never fast. A reverential sound. We hope you may stay with it, but we need so much more. Oh, if that is all we have nothing. Do you know what we read in God's word? We read of a Jonah. He left the Lord. He rebelled. He went his own way. And it was only because of his own fault. Then he was lying there on the bottom of that ocean, that sea. And do you know what he said? Out of the belly of hell, cried I unto the Lord. And the Lord heard my voice. I will sacrifice unto the Lord. The sacrifices of thanksgiving. Oh, he sang. And he is singing this day. Everything wrong in him. Everything from coming from the side of the Lord. Oh, congregation, will you not ask the Lord, Lord, teach me how to sing? Oh, teach me, boys and girls, ask the Lord, teach me how to sing. Teach me how to sing like thy people learn how to sing. That is against our flesh. But Lord, teach me. Oh, teach me how to sing that song. That song that no man can learn. But that 144,000 that are redeemed from the earth. We tell you something. That is what it says in the word of God. That is not from us. But that the day of the death of that people. That will be better than the day of their birth, Solomon says. The end of a thing that is better than the beginning thereof. Oh, the beginning of that song is sweet. The end of that song, that shall be great. That song of Moses, the servant of the Lord. And that song of the Lamb that may say, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach us to sing? We do not know how to sing. We are so foolish. Convert us unto thee for the first time and by renewal, and give us to know that song of the redeemed. That shall be a pitch higher than the song of the angels, knowing from what we have been delivered. Oh, we may acknowledge thee for the help thou hast given us in this morning. Wilt thou bring us safely to our places? Help in this afternoon in the reading services. And wilt thou forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake? Amen.
306, 1 through 4. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise, praise his name. And with one accord, bless ye the Lord. His name adore from this time forth forevermore. And from this time forth forevermore. All stanzas of 306. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.